Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for May the 2nd, 2018. It is my 377th Word for Word show. That does not count the reruns. We do reruns on Tuesdays and Thursdays these days for those that are trying to catch up on past shows. My website is www.pastor-steve.com. All my shows are there, Wake Up Call and Word for Word. There are lots of references for other two seed line sites. You can download or listen. There are no chat rooms, no comments. I don't want trolls on the site. It's not a place to play, it's a place to study. So we are going to finish up the book of the Wisdom of Solomon and the Apocrypha today with chapters 17, 18, and 19. We're going to get right into this. This is going on about the history where the Israelites are leaving Mitzrayim, that's Egypt, and it gets right down to what happened. And on Friday we will begin the book of Sirach, and I will explain all of that on Friday in the intro. So let's get started with verse 1 of chapter 17 of the Wisdom of Solomon. Great are your judgments, and hard to describe. Therefore, uninstructed souls have gone astray. Verse 2. For when lawless people supposed that they could, that they held the holy nation in their power, they're speaking of Israel, they themselves lay as captives of darkness and prisoners of long night, shut in under their roofs, exiles from eternal providence. All right, remember that Yahweh put all the lights out in Egypt except in the land of Goshen where the Israelites were. Here's verse 3. And you can reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 18 on this. For thinking that in their secret sins they were unobserved behind a dark curtain of forgetfulness, they were scattered terribly, alarmed and appalled by specters. verse 4, for not even the inner chamber that held them protected them from fear. But terrifying sounds rang out around them, and dismal phantoms with gloomy faces appeared. I'm sorry. I had to put that in there. Shame on me. Verse 5. And no power of fire was able to give light, nor did the brilliant flames of the stars avail to illumine that hateful night. Verse 6. Nothing was shining through to them except a dreadful, self-kindled fire, and in terror they deemed the things that they saw to be worse than that unseen appearance. Verse 7. The delusions of their magic art lay humbled, and their boasted wisdom was scornfully rebuked. Verse 8. For those who promised to drive off the fears and disorders of a sick soul were sick themselves with ridiculous fear. Verse 9. For even if nothing disturbing frightened them, yet, scared by the passing of wild animals and the hissings of snakes, verse 10, they perished in trembling fear, refusing to look even at the air, though it nowhere could be avoided. Verse 11, for wickedness is a cowardly thing, condemned by its own testimony. Distressed by conscience, it has always exaggerated the difficulties. Verse 12, for fear is nothing but a giving up of the helps that come from reason. Verse 13, and hope, defeated by this inward weakness, prefers ignorance of what causes the torment. Verse 14, but throughout the night, which was really powerless, and which came upon them from the recesses of powerless Hades. Now this is in the Greek. And Hades is the land of the dead, as Sheol is the land of the dead in the Hebrew. They all slept the same sleep. Verse 15, and now were driven by monstrous specters, and now were paralyzed by their soul surrender. For sudden and unexpected fear overwhelmed them. In other words, they were scared to death, literally to death. Verse 16, and whoever was there fell down, and thus was kept shut up in a prison not made of iron. Verse 17, for whether they were farmers or shepherds or workers who toiled in the wilderness, they were seized and endured the inescapable fate, for with one chain of darkness they were all bound. Verse 18, whether there came a whistling wind or a melodious sound of birds in wide-spreading branches, or by the rhythm of violently rushing water. Verse 19, or the harsh crash of rocks hurled down, or the unseen running of leaping animals, or the sound of the most savage roaring beasts, or an echo thrown back from a hollow of the mountains, it paralyzed them with terror. In other words, everything was scaring them. Verse 20, for the whole world was illumined with brilliant light, and went about its work unhindered. Verse 21, while over those people alone heavy night was spread, an image of the darkness that was destined to receive them. But still heavier than darkness were they to themselves. In other words, they were their own worst enemies. And Yahweh put this on them as punishment for what they had been doing to Israel. Now that ends chapter 17. We're going to get into chapter 18. And it's about light shining on the Israelites. Okay? Verse 1 of chapter 18, and 18, 1 through 4, you can reference Exodus, chapter 13, verses 17 through 22. That's Exodus 13, 17 through 22. Verse 1 of 18. But for your holy ones, there was very great light. Their enemies, or they, heard their voices, but did not see their forms, and counted them happy for not having suffered. Verse 2, and were thankful that your holy ones, okay, those are the chosen of Israel, your holy ones, though previously wronged, were doing them no injury. And they begged their pardon for having been at variance with them. In other words, they asked for forgiveness for being so mean and cruel and vicious to Israel. Well, the Israelites were going to leave. Okay? Verse 3, therefore you provided a flaming pillar of fire as a guide for your people's journey. Your people's unknown journey, pardon me. And a harmless sun for their glorious wandering. Verse 4, for their enemies deserve to be deprived of light and imprisoned in darkness. Those who had kept your children imprisoned, through whom the imperishable light of the law was to be given to the world. Now, when they finally got to the mountain where Moshe went up and got the law, that's where they got that. That's what that concerns. Now, it separates into another segment of chapter 18. This is about the death of the Egyptian firstborn. Get a little drink of coffee. Verse 5. When they had resolved to kill the infants of your holy ones, that we're going to kill all the babies in Israel. Okay. And one child had been abandoned and rescued. That was Moses. You in punishment took away a multitude of their children, and you destroyed them all together by a mighty flood. Verse 6. That night was made known beforehand to our ancestors so that they might rejoice in sure knowledge of the oaths in which they trusted. Verse 7. The deliverance of the righteous and the destruction of their enemies were expected by your people. Verse 8. For by the same means by which you punished our enemies, you called us to yourself and glorified us. Verse 9. For in secret the holy children of good people offered sacrifices, and with one accord agreed to the divine law, so that the saints would share alike in the same things, both blessings and dangers. And already they were singing the praises of their ancestors. And other versions that said the ancestors already leading the songs of praise. So it can be either way. This volume has both sets of verses. The other in notes. So I want to give them both to you. So no matter what you're reading, you might get the gist of it. Verse 10 of chapter 18. But the discordant cry of their enemies echoed back, and their piteous lament for the children was spread abroad. Killed all the firstborn, including Pharaoh's son. Verse 11. The slave was punished with the same penalty as the master, and the commoner suffered the same loss as the king. Verse 12. And they all together by the one form of death, and in the Greek it has the one name of death, okay, had corpses too many to count. For the living were not sufficient even to bury them, since in one instant their most valued children had been destroyed. They had to wait several days before they pursued after Israel, because they had to spend days burying the dead. Verse 13, and you can reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 28. For though they had disbelieved everything because of their magic arts, yet when their firstborn were destroyed, they acknowledged your people to be Elohim's child. That's God's child. Verse 14. For while gentle silence enveloped all things, and night in its swift course was now half gone. Verse 15. Your all-powerful word leaped from heaven, from the royal throne, into the midst of the land that was doomed. A stern warrior, verse 16, carrying the sharp sword of your authentic command, and stood and filled all things with death, and touched heaven while standing on the earth. Verse 17, and you can reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 6, verse 18. Then at once apparitions and dreadful dreams greatly troubled them, and unexpected fears assailed them. Verse 18. And one here and another there, hurled down half dead, made known why they were dying. Verse 19. For the dreams that disturbed them forewarned them of this, so that they might not perish without knowing why they suffered. So that tells the story of what happened as far as Yahweh's vengeance on Egypt. When he killed all the firstborn, even the firstborn of Pharaoh, the high Pharaoh, wasn't protected. And there was nothing he could do. He was absolutely impotent against the power of Yahweh. Oh, he had troops and he had thugs, and all the people were taskmasters whipping up on Israel and just wanting to kill their children and wanting to do this and wanting to do that. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Did they get a comeuppance? Well, that's going to come to the evil ones today. Trust in Yahweh, folks. Trust. Trust in Him and wait on Him. He'll deal with these people. Now, we have the threat of annihilation in the desert. That's the next section. And verses 20 through 25, you can reference the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, chapter 16, verses 41 through 50, verse 20 of chapter 18. The experience of death touched also the righteous, and a plague came upon the multitude in the desert, but the wrath did not long continue. Verse 21. For a blameless man was quick to act as their champion. This is verse 21. For a blameless man was quick to act as their champion. He brought forward the shield of his ministry, prayer and propitiation by incense. He withstood the anger and put an end to the disaster, showing that he was your servant. That's when Israel had sinned and Moses prayed for them. Okay. Verse 22. He conquered the wrath and the Greek has the multitude. Okay. Conquered the multitude. He opposed the evil ones in Israel, okay? Not by strength of body, not by force of arms, but by his word, he subdued the avenger, the plague that was killing the Israelites, appealing to the oaths and covenants given to our ancestors. He prayed to Yahweh and reminded him of the prior covenants. Verse 23. For when the dead had already fallen on one another in heaps, he intervened and held back the wrath. Yahweh was going to kill them all. And cut off its way to the living. Verse 24. For on his long robe the whole world was depicted, and the glories of the ancestors were engraved on the four rows of stone, and your majesty was on the diadem on his head. That is the breastplate with the Urim and the Thummim, and the diadem of the high priest. Okay. Verse 25. To these the destroyer yielded. Thus he feared. Or these he feared. Pardon me. For merely to test the wrath was enough. Now we get the story of the Sea of Reeds. Now they have the Red Sea in here. Why? After all this time, when people know that it's not the Red Sea, it is the Sea of Reeds, they keep repeating this error in all these different Bibles. I am just, they just won't get out of their little rut, I guess. Now we begin chapter 19. And I'll finish this, and then we'll give a synopsis of all of this book, and I'll give a little hint of what's coming. Verse 19, let me get a drink of coffee here. I've been having at it, and I just get so excited when I read this. This is just marvelous. Oh, that goes down good. Verse 1 of chapter 19. This is the final chapter of the Wisdom of Solomon. But the ungodly were assailed to the end by pitiless anger. For, now in the Greek it says, he knew in advance even their future actions. Verse 2. How, though they themselves had permitted or had changed their minds to permit your people to depart and hastily sent them out, they would change their minds and pursue them. This is where they were trying to catch up with them and kill Israel. This is that story. Verse 3. For while they were still engaged in mourning and were lamenting at the graves of their dead, that's the graves of the firstborn, they reached another foolish decision. Now that's speaking of the Egyptians. And pursued as fugitives those whom they had begged and compelled to leave. Pharaoh told them, get out! Get out! Leave us! We're all dying because of you. Get out! Well, verse 4. For the fate they deserved drew them on to this end and made them forget what had happened in order that they might fill up the punishment that their torments still lacked. Verse 5. And that your people, that's Israel, might experience or accomplish, one, either one, an incredible journey, but they themselves might meet a strange death. Now that's when the sea collapsed on them and drowned them all. And they go through that area, and there's still chariot wheels and stuff on the bottom. They found all that stuff where they crossed over. Of course, you don't hear that publicized very much. Here is another section. God guides and protects his people. Verse 6 of chapter 19. For the whole creation in its nature was fashioned anew, complying with your command, so that your children might be kept unharmed. Verse 7. The cloud was seen overshadowing the camp, and dry land emerging where the water had stood before. An unhindered way out of the Sea of Reeds. Now they have the Red Sea here. Ah, well. And a grassy plain out of the raging waves. Verse 8, where those protected by your hand passed through as one nation after gazing on marvelous wonders. Wow. That's pretty heavy duty stuff. And here's verse 9, and you can reference 3 Maccabees, chapter 2, verse 8. For they ranged like horses and leaped like lambs, praising you, O Yahweh, who delivered them. Verse 10. For they still recalled the events of their sojourn, how instead of producing animals, the earth brought forth gnats. And instead of fish, the river spewed out vast numbers of frogs. All the plagues that hit Egypt. Verse 18. Afterward, they saw also a new kind of birds, the quail, when desire led them to ask for luxurious food. Verse 12. For to give them relief, quails came up from the sea. This is the story of that marvelous journey. And another subsection, the punishment of the Egyptians. Verse 13 of chapter 19. The punishments did not come upon the sinners without prior signs in the violence of thunder. For they justly suffered because of their wicked acts. For they practiced a more bitter hatred of strangers. Verse 14. Others had refused to receive strangers when they came to them, but these made slaves of guests who were their benefactors. All right, let's stop right here. Now, we have been a blessing everywhere that we've gone. We've helped all the nations, and a lot of people have not appreciated that. We give and give and give to the blacks, and they hate us for it. We've even helped the Talmudists in our ignorance, and they try to kill us because they are of Esau, Edom, and they are doomed. They hate us with an undying hatred. So that's the deal there. We have been benefactors. We have blessed the world, and the Talmudists have not. Verse 15, and not only so, but while punishment of some sort will come upon the former for having received strangers with hostility, verse 16, the latter, having first received them with festal celebrations, afterward afflicted with terrible sufferings those who had already shared the same rights. They turned on Israel and afflicted us. Verse 17 of chapter 19. They were stricken also with loss of sight, just as were those at the doors of the righteous man, when surrounded by yawning darkness, all of them tried to find the way through their own doors. The doors of a righteous man, okay? When Lot brought the strangers in Sodom, to keep them from the homosexual rapists outside, it was time to leave, and they were waiting outside to attack people. The angels, or messengers, more properly, struck all of them blind. And Lot and his family walked right through them. Remember that? Here is the last actual subsection, a new harmony in nature. For the elements changed or changing, either one, that they have two versions, changed or changing, places with one another. As on a harp the notes vary the nature of the rhythm, while each note remains the same. This may be clearly inferred from the sight of what took place. Verse 19. For land animals were transformed into water creatures, and creatures that swim moved over to the land. All right. That explains how sea creatures came out on the land and became land creatures. And land animals that made their living in water eventually changed and became adapted to living in water. Yahweh can do all of that. It's not evolution, that's Yahweh's power. Verse 20. Fire, even in water, returned its normal power. And water forgot its fire-quenching nature. Verse 21. Flames, on the contrary, failed to consume the flesh of perishable creatures that walked among them. Nor did they melt, or not, nor could be melted. That's either or. There's two versions. The crystalline, quick melting kind of heavenly food. Talking about the man. Here's the conclusion. This is verse 22. For in everything, O Yahweh, you have exalted and glorified your people, and you have not neglected to help them at all times and in all places. Now that ends the book of the wisdom of Solomon. It told the story of the Exodus and all of that, and so much more prior to that. This is a historical and spiritual inspiration for all, because it explains a lot what Yahweh was doing. Why he did this, why he did that. It gives more insight into the actions that took place. Well, that ends Wisdom of Solomon. Friday, we're going into the Book of Sirach. Now, its title is Ecclesiasticus. Okay, that's in the Latin. Or the Wisdom of Jesus. That's the Greek name that they called Jesus, son of Sirach. Now, there are 51 chapters. So Sirach is going to take a while to get done. It's not one of these little short books. It's going to finish out the month of May and will go until the 11th of June. That's going to be the reading of Sirach. It may take less. I don't know. Depends on how fast I can go through the chapters, I don't like to deliberately rush trying to get stuff done, because we need to do these relatively slowly so we can ponder and think and examine the verses, and I can do my commentaries and give you notes. I have lots of notes. That's what I like about this particular Bible with the Apocrypha in this version. This is the New Revised Standard Version. I have had this for years. I've had to recover it with several covers because it just has fallen apart on me. I really use all these books. They're not just sitting on a shelf. They're dog-eared, and not by my use, but just by time. They get a little ragged, and I have to put a little clear tape on a page. But you get so much information when you have a library like I do, and I have accumulated things, and I had to send things out of prison for safety because the evil ones there, and I'm talking about the guards, not the prisoners, they were evil too, would destroy religious literature just to be evil. Now they've got a big prologue to the book of Sirach, and it gives the history of the man and what was going on. It's about the man's grandfather, okay? It's written down about the guy's grandfather. And it's a historical and scriptural. That's an exhortation to do your duty. It has praise of wisdom as well, like the wisdom of Solomon. Like I said, it's 51 chapters. It gives you the duties toward the parents and duties toward the poor and oppressed, and verses on humility and alms for the poor, precepts for everyday living, friendship, false and true friendship, blessings of wisdom, prudence and common sense, like the Psalms, advice concerning women, concerning rulers, the sin of pride, choice of friends, on and on and on and on and on. It's going to take some time. Because of the content of this book, I will have to do more comments than I have in some of the others. And there are lots of notes. I will expound on that. We may have to look some of them up. But I'm coming down to the end here in word for word. I'll be all the way into June on Sirach. Then I'm going to have a couple of shows on just plain Baruch. On the 6th of June will be the last of the Apocrypha. And on the 18th of June, I plan to get into the book of Matthew in the New Covenant. Okay? I'm already doing extensive studies and notes preparing for that. It's going to take several months just to get my ducks in a row, basically, for the New Testament. Because I'm not going to rush through it. I'm going to give all the references that I can get back and forth. And I will be reading Old Testament verses as well as doing the New Testament. I want to do a thorough read all the way through the New Testament. And that will take me probably into 2019 sometime. I get a great deal of pleasure and satisfaction by doing these. I love them, and I want you to love them as well, because it's all good instruction. And we can never get too much good instruction. I have the knowledge of the languages, which will benefit those that have not had the time or opportunity or the means to study these languages. I have been blessed by Yahweh, and it tells in Scripture that you are to share these blessings. Well, that is what I am endeavoring to do in these word-for-word studies. I really, really, really love to share them. And I put all my studies into my wake-up call sermons. Wherever he leads me, I don't have the sermon until he puts it in my mind and the path that I am to take on doing a sermon. And I get frustrated and I despair because I haven't got it until the last minute. And I should just trust in him. He always comes through and gives me what I need to say. And it just takes me through it and makes it so easy. What a loving father we have. We are in the time of Jacob's trouble right now. We see all these evil things coming to pass, and weighs on our mind, and we are in very uncertain and evil times. And now is when our faith needs to be the strongest. And the books that I'm reading will give my brothers and sisters out there of Israel the inspiration that they might need. They might be of a help. So, I'm going to play a couple of songs to close out. And I'll start with my Onward Christian Soldiers and then add music up until the time. Finishing this book gives me about 10 free minutes. So, I'm going to relax and I'm going to play a little bit of music. And I'll talk to you again on Friday on the 4th of May. May Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go. Thank you.
can't you hear me say?
Sinners, I plead with my last breath. No one knows until they have to face it just how bad a sinner's death can be. I am facing it now as I plead with you. Don't let it be with you as it's been with me. Claims me, no one says.